Almighty God, you have led the people of Israel to liberation through waters. You created all that is out of chaotic waters. And you call us to be your children through water. Amen. Please be seated. You may have noticed that the font is uncovered and has water, and it is indeed blessed, and the Paschal candle is lit. This morning at the 8 o'clock service, we gathered to baptize Simon Aaron Peoples into the body of Christ. And baptism places a unique claim upon each and every one of us. Before baptism, we are not a member of the church. After baptism, we are. So what does it mean to be a member of the church? Is it about how regularly you attend? Is it about whether you make a pledge to support the worship and ministries of the parish? No. Membership is not about those things. Now, attending and participating in worship and the life of the parish does make a difference in your life and in the lives of others. Make no mistake about that. And clearly, if no one makes a financial commitment, then we can't do the thing we are doing right now, worship. And we certainly can't do the work we're called to do the other 6 days of the week. But being a member of the church, being a living piece of the body of Christ in the world, has nothing to do with those things. It has to do with how we relate to God and to one another. Much of what St. Paul wrote to the members of churches had to do with how to live in relationship, how to live in a world hostile to Christian belief, how to live into the meaning and the promises of life in Christ. And also, as today's lesson shows, how Christians should live with other Christians who do disappointing and downright awful things to one another. In today's lesson, Paul wrote to the churches in Rome, and he says that being bound to Christ means that you and I are not to judge or condemn those who practice their faith differently than you or I do. Apparently, my way isn't the only way to love God and to love the neighbor. And this is important for us to recognize at St. Paul's in this day, because this church is growing. People are showing up for worship who are new to the Episcopal way of being Christian. And every one of us, cradle Episcopalian or not, every one of us brings baggage with us from our past. You may have been hurt in another church. And every one of us has absolutely been hurt by other people or institutions in the world. And yet somehow we ended up here. So in the lesson, Paul says, first off, we welcome you. And we welcome you not with an agenda to impose our way on you. Instead, we welcome you just as you are on this journey. And secondly, we are here, and we are called to form a life-giving relationship shaped by the risen Christ. We are called to love one another, not as the world loves, but as Christ loves us and as God loves us. But let's be real. Church isn't all beautiful hymns and flowers and vestments. Sooner or later, you or I will hurt one another. And the wrong done may be intentional or unintentional, but something will happen that separates us from living into the kind of loving relationship that Jesus lived and taught us to embody. So at that point, what do we do? Do we tolerate one another? Do we seek vengeance against one another? Or do we just leave all together and find better people to be with? This is where baptism comes back full force, because baptism binds us to one another in a mystical way. That means we cannot toss one another out like disposable plates whenever we hurt or disappoint one another. That is not the love that Jesus Christ lived. And it is not the reality after baptism. You and I, for better or for worse, are irrevocably and forever bound to one another through baptism into the body of Christ. You and I may be trash, or we may trash one another. But either way, to God, we are invaluable, treasured beyond measure. And so through the incarnation, God became fully human, came into the world to permanently deal with the thing that we call sin, that thing that separates and diminishes and sometimes kills relationships. God came into the world to restore wholeness to the whole of creation. So how do we deal with sin? When I have wronged you, what do we do? What can you give me? What can I give you to deal with that? I had a wonderful spiritual director years ago who never missed, and I don't think we met one time that this didn't come up. Never missed an opportunity to remind me of this. God forgives, John. Have you accepted that gift of forgiveness? Do you have God's forgiveness planted and growing in your heart? Or are you stuck holding on to some pain from the past? He used to ask me, "The good news is that God's mercy is real and it never fails. Do you believe it?" Some people assume that today's parable is an allegory for how God treats us. But I side with those who don't buy that last line, who think that Matthew got a little overeager in trying to teach his people how to be through fear and trembling. Because if you listen to what Jesus actually says, there's no way that king can be God. What we like to ask is, how limited is God's forgiveness? How much is too much pain for God to bear? We like to say, three strikes and you're out. Now, Peter thought he was doing something pretty merciful by saying that he would forgive one who sins against him as many as seven times. Which, in the Bible, seven means perfection and wholeness, creation in 7 days. But Jesus sees the situation from an entirely different perspective. One where forgiveness is real and unlimited. In order to be the church that we are called to become, in order to be a sign of God's love and desire to reconcile the whole world, we have to have something to give. We have to believe and accept the forgiveness that God offers us. The only way to live together in the church, in the world, according to Jesus, is through forgiveness. You cannot be made whole and free in God's grace if you cannot accept God's forgiveness. It is God who makes us stand on the last day, picks us up off the dusty ground, wipes our knees off like a child, and looks at us and said, "Now that is a beloved child of mine. Forgiven, restored, free from the bondage of death and sin." That's not just our message. It's what we as members of the church, we as a people, are called to be and do for the world, to be made new in Christ, so that we can live together in joy and peace, the peace that passes all understanding. It doesn't make sense. How can God forgive and forgive and forgive? That's not how we are, but that is how God is. Let go of the unreal wish that your past had been different. That is the nature of withholding forgiveness, when we hold on to something we wish had been different, some injustice done that we wish had not been done to us. We continue holding it. Instead, God calls us to let it go, to open the hand, maybe both hands, and to let go just as God lets go of our offenses, of our sins, and forgets about them, sets them aside because they are not worth as much as you are worth in God's eyes. Open both hands so that you can receive the forgiveness that God offers. Healing towards wholeness comes only from there, never from vengeance, never from disdain, never from begrudging another. We are the baptized. We are called to restored wholeness between us and God, so that we may turn around, walk out those doors, and be sacraments for the whole world, signs of unbroken and restored relationship with God, sharing the good news that forgiveness really is real, from St. Paul's to the ends of the earth. Amen.